and get your Bibles and take your Bibles, please. Turn to 1 Chronicles 15. We are going to use our Bibles tonight, so I want you to keep your finger licked up. Yeah, just don't put any boogers on it, all right? 1 Chronicles 15, we're going to read one verse here, and then we're going to kind of skip to another set of verses elsewhere, and then keep your Bibles open because we're going to be all over tonight. 1 Chronicles 15, look at verse number 22. And Chenaniah, chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. Now turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Look at verse number 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse number 12. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests surrounding with trumpets. Turn to chapter 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 6. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever, when David praised with their ministry. And the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Chapter 8, look at verse number 14. Chapter 8, verse number 14. And he appointed, according to the order of David his father, the courses of the priests to their service, and the Levites to their charges, to praise and minister before the priests as the duty every day required, porters also and their courses at every gate, for so had David, the man of God, commanded. Now, Rich and Sue Studer, good to see you all. Friends of ours from Indiana, thank you for being here tonight. Right on time, Rich, just like normal. You went to the other side. Sorry, you did see our sign that we moved, though. Oh, good to have you here. I'll catch you after the service. Tonight, we're going to continue our study on the Holy Spirit. And tonight, I'm going to talk to you about the Holy Spirit and music. The Holy Spirit and music. We read in 1 and 2 Chronicles the record of where the Levites were in charge of the music in the tabernacle and in the temple. Now, the Levites were the priestly tribe. Those were the preachers. Those are the ones that took care of the duties of the house of God, and they were the ones in charge of the music. Now, that's important because you have to understand something. How sad music has become in our country today and in our world today. Music has degenerated, even spiritual, quote-unquote, music, has degenerated to mere entertainment. Please don't take this wrong. Don't call it a ministry when you charge people and make them buy tickets. It's not a ministry. I don't care how spiritual the music is, it's not a ministry. We are never to use the devil or the flesh or the worldly methods to get God's message out. There's never been a case in Scripture where God said, go be like the world to get my message out. Not one. And music is no different. Everybody doing okay? Smile now. It's going to get worse later. For instance, you would never have anyone strip down to their underwear and go soul winning at the beach. By the way, that's all people do at the beach. They strip down to their underwear. You say, well, somebody's got to reach them. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, there was a well-known youth evangelist. And he had a Daytona Beach ministry. He would take teenagers down there during spring break to go soul winning on the beaches to all the college kids partying. I heard preachers all over the country, this guy's got holes in his head. He's taking young people down there. Within 5 years, the soul winners that he took out, he let them wear their bathing suits to go soul winning. Where do you hide tracks? You know, good night. How deplorable. You say, well, I wonder if people got saved. Some may have, but I wonder how many good, godly young people ruined their lives those weeks. You took something good, put the devil's method to it, and you cheapened the good that was there. Everybody doing okay? Now, why would we use the world's style of music and put God's words to it? Tonight, I want to show you the Holy Spirit's role in music, or what his role should be in our music. I will say this. Music without the Holy Spirit is only entertainment. Music without the Holy Spirit is only entertainment. By the way, it's only fleshly. It's to satisfy us. It's one of the devil's biggest attacks and one of his most successful attacks in our world today. Music is powerful. You can't buy gas without hearing music. You can't go to the store. You can't eat in a restaurant. You go everywhere, there's music everywhere you go. Brother Dorsey and I were talking earlier today about different styles of music and how it affects different people in different ways. The music at McDonald's and Burger King and Chick-fil-A and those places is much more quick and much faster than the music in the place that you go down and you actually sit down and eat at. When they're trying to move people through, they speed up the music. You'll eat faster, not even knowing it. And yet people that understand food understand that. You see, the devil has used music as an attack against Christianity. The average Christian listens to music, listen to this, more worldly than the worldly music was 50 years ago. Don't do it. I have. But if you go back to the late 50s, early 60s, when the Beatles came over from England, moms and dads were complaining about the haircuts of the Beatles. Now the average Southern gospel group looks worse than the Beatles did back in the 1960s. Everybody doing okay? The average Christian's music is more entertainment and not spiritual. I want to show you what the Holy Spirit's role in music is tonight. We're going to use our Bibles. I have three main points, but the third one has 3 points with it, so hang on. All right, so number one, music is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Music is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to notice something here. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at verse number 17. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. That means be wise, not foolish, correct? But understanding what the will of the Lord is. That means this is what God wants us to do. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the, what? Spirit. Small S or capital S? And that's, in other words, the Holy Spirit, correct? Speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the, God says that being filled with the Spirit is our music. We are filled with the Spirit when our music is filled with the Spirit in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs. In other words, that word drunk literally means to be filled to the top. To be, it doesn't necessarily mean to be inebriated. But it means to be filled to where you can't take any more in. Now, it is in reference, that's why it says in excess. Isn't it amazing that God likens the word drunkenness or filled to the point of what a drunkard would be with alcohol to spirituality and the Holy Spirit and music? We could go back to the book of Ecclesiastes and it talks about the song of fools. We won't do that tonight, but our music is to be filled or drunk with the Holy Spirit. That means this: the words of our music ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That means, listen, the music itself should be filled with the Holy Spirit. That means the performers ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That means the listeners should be filled with the Holy Spirit. There are 4 points there. Brother Randy was playing piano tonight. Does a great job. But can I tell you something? Kirsten does a good job too. Can I tell you why? They both let the Holy Spirit work through them. It's not just talent. There's a difference. I got to keep moving here. I got too much to say. This allows, when you have godly music and Holy Spirit-filled music, Holy Spirit-filled words, Holy Spirit-filled people who perform or do the music, as well as Holy Spirit-filled people listening to the music, guess what? The Holy Spirit can make you drunk or be filled and give you every part of that that is needed and necessary. It does not mean that you're going to jump up and down, sway your hands around, and shake, rattle, and roll. All right? I heard that. It was Marcia. It wasn't Ellen, but Ellen was laughing at it. Anyway, can I tell you something? Our music ought to be filled with the Spirit. We ought to be filled with the Spirit to listen to it. Music is not there to put you into a mood. Music is there to speak to you and let the Holy Spirit work through you and fill you. Ouch. When we let music put us into a mood, that's our flesh. We are allowing our flesh to be controlled by music. Everybody doing okay? So, number one, music is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, music that is spiritual teaches and admonishes. Turn to Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, just a few pages over. Colossians chapter 3. I want you to keep your finger in Ephesians 5 because you'll come back to that in a moment. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse number 16. Now watch this. Let the word of Christ, that's the Bible, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Doesn't it look an awful lot like Ephesians 5, 19 and 18? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart as to the Lord. God says, but in the first part of that, that the word of Christ dwell in you, teaching and admonishing. Notice the words of Christ. Folks, the Bible is the word of God. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14 in John chapter 1, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That word is Jesus Christ. When he comes back, his name will be written on his vesture, the word of God. Amen. He is the word of God. That's how he defeated the devil in the Mount of Temptation. He said, scripture says, it is written, scripture says, three times tempted. Three times using scripture, by the way, scripture that it was twice as old from the time of where he was to when it was written as when it was from Jesus' day to now. Guess it was good for him, it's good for us.
That's right.
Now, God says that the words of Christ taught and admonished with music. He said, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, and with spiritual songs. In other words, our music ought not be entertaining, it ought to be teaching and admonishing. It's not to set a mood. It's not for an atmosphere alone. Music needs to be doctrinally and scripturally correct. Everybody listen to that very carefully. That is not the Bible. That is not the Word of God. There are verses in some of these songs, I refuse to sing in our church because some of the wording is not doctrinally correct, so we won't do it. Everybody doing okay? I go through every one of them with a fine-tooth comb. In the copy that I use, I have scratched out different verses that we're not going to do because they're just not doctrinally right. It doesn't mean the whole song is bad unless it is a part of the chorus or something that's sung with every verse that I can't avoid it. Then we just don't sing it. Everybody doing okay? Brother Randy, sometimes he helps with the choir and he submits a bunch of music to me. I think the last time he handed me 30-some songs. First thing I do is I read through the words of the song. I don't even look at the music. I just start reading the words. And if it's not doctrinally correct, set it aside. There are some things that aren't necessarily doctrinally wrong, but we have corrupted doctrine to where some of the wording lends to bad doctrine. So I'll kind of steer away from that. Then you have the music part of things. The music portion of it needs to be studied as much as the words, but the words are just as important. You see, music teaches. Let me ask you a question. What are you teaching your children with the music that you let them listen to? You realize every CD and every music format, whether digital or used to be records and tapes and 8-tracks. Some of you used to have the little 45s and the 78s and all those. And some of you had the old Victrolas. But anyway, right, Ellen? But anyway, it doesn't matter what format that you listen to your music. My question is this. Who is doing the teaching and what is being taught? Are we teaching our children it's okay to go get drunk at the bar and go sleep with somebody else's wife? That's what the average country music song is all about. Are we teaching rebellion? Are we teaching about drug use, immorality, rebellion? Listen to the, please don't, but the vileness of rap music. Good night. Those folks ought to be put in jail. You talk about people that should be put in jail for polluting. They have polluted the minds of too many people. And may I say this as gently as I know how, which is not very gently. Whoever sings your music is teaching you. Whoever performs the music is the teacher. Be careful. When I was in college, the best I could, I chose classes based on the teacher, not the topic. I wanted to learn from the teacher more than I cared about the topic. Everybody doing okay? So music needs to be doctrinally and scripturally correct. You say, well, I wonder if mine is. Give me a list, I'll let you know. The Holy Spirit, listen to this, you've heard me say this 100 times in this series. The Holy Spirit can't work outside that book right there. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, if he worked outside of the Word of God, he's working outside of what he is, and he can't keep his word. The Holy Spirit has to work within the confines of the Word of God, period. That's why these people that get up and say, oh, God showed me that I was supposed to sell everything and move to Zimbabwe. God didn't show you that. That wasn't the Holy Ghost. It's not in Scripture. They doing okay? The word admonish means reprimand, to warn, to correct. Our music is to teach us, and it's to warn us and to reprimand us if we step out of line. See, our music isn't to teach us how to disobey our parents. Our music isn't to teach us how to get by at not working at work. I have to use this illustration. When I worked in the machine shop when I was in Bible college, of course, we didn't have control of the radio. And they played, some kind of country station or something. I'm standing there working at my machine, and all of a sudden a song comes on, "Take This Job In." You all know what I'm talking about, okay? Happened to be that the owner of the company was there that night. He came down on the floor. I said, Stuart, "Have you really listened to what you play to the employees here?" I said, "You're playing music that teaches them to go against everything you want them to do." He said, "What do you mean?" I referred to that song. He chuckled, as you did. I said, "What does the song talk about? You have troubles with your employees, but yet you're teaching them to do it with the music that you pump in their heads." He said, "You Baptists have something going on here." He said, "I see what you're talking about." He said, "Since we can't agree, we'll just turn the whole thing off. We don't need to be listening to music anyway. Need to be working." I said, "That's good with me." And they never played music in the shop again. I didn't have to get in his face. I just simply said, "Do you realize what you're teaching the employees here? You are teaching your own employees to go against you. Does that make sense?" "No. But the Bible says it is to teach and to admonish." What are you teaching, and is it admonishing? Some people's music admonishes them not to listen to their mom and dad. "Well, that's the kind of stuff you break and throw out of your house." You say, "Well, I can't control what my children listen to." You didn't grow up in the house I grew up in. They live under your roof. You have the right to go through anything they own because you own it. I took a lot of things away and threw it away. See, they might get mad. Well, they might stay right with God too. All music is not just to make you feel good. It is to teach and it's to admonish. For instance, you know the little song that we teach the kids in junior church? "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, big mouth, what you say." You say, what is that? That's a song that admonishes. What a great song to teach your children. It is a song that warns them, be careful what you see, be careful what you say, be careful where you go, be careful what your hands do, be careful where your feet take you. You can sing all kinds of verses to it. It is a song of admonishment. That is exactly, by the way, that's the kind of songs we should be singing. Everybody doing okay? Man, I feel like I'm on an island all by myself tonight, but that's all right. Then God tells us that there are three types of songs or three types of music that we should have. Let me show you what they are. In Colossians 3:16, where you just were, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Did you know all music that is spirit-filled music comes down to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? I don't mean this arrogantly. You can go through any music I have. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Period. It's all I listen to. Say why? Because I want the Holy Spirit to fill me. I've got to have him fill me. So I have to watch what music I listen to. So for the next 16 minutes, hang on. Psalms. These are actually songs from Scripture. It is taking the very words of God and putting music to it. There's Psalm 48, 1 and 2. If you know it, you can sing it with me. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Hey, what a great song to sing. As old as a scripture. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Boy, that's a real hard one, isn't it? We could go to Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is clean, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. All three, or all four of those verses you sing. Psalm 25, 1 and 2. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Jeremiah 33, 3. If you know it, sing it with me. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Can I tell you something? You're not going to have wrong thoughts when you're singing those songs. We can take hundreds of scripture and put music to it. The book of Psalms is actually the old Hebrew songbook. They literally would sing the Psalms. That's how they memorized them. Do you remember back in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 or 2 Chronicles chapter 6 where we were when we started, talked about Asaph? When you go through the book of Psalms, look how many of those were written by Asaph. It's the same one. See, all those were songs. You can put music to all. Brother Stoltz, before he went to heaven, he had hundreds of scripture references. He taught his kids. He could sing the whole chapter of Psalm 119, all 165 verses of it. He put it to music. He just sang the Psalms. Can I tell you something? We ought to start singing the Word of God more. We really should. And we're going to in days to come. As soon as preacher gets a little bit of time. But anyway, you say why? Because we're to sing the scriptures. Those are just a few of the verses that you can start singing. Then it says hymns. This is a songs and hymns. Notice there's two different types in there. It says songs and hymns. This is not a hymnal, it's a songbook. Because it has songs and hymns. They're two totally different things. The word hymn means words that celebrate or praise God. The word hymn means words that celebrate God or praise in worship. Now, that's not people getting up on platform doing this kind of stuff and jumping up and down. It is words just like we sang tonight. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Hey, he's coming back for us. This world's not our home. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. What's joy unspeakable and full of glory? The gospel, getting saved, going to heaven. That's praise to God for it. How about come thou fount of every blessing? Tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Calls for, those are the three songs we sang tonight. Just those three songs are hymns. They are about praising and celebrating what God is. These are the types of songs that we're supposed to sing in church. Not ones that make you get up and jump around and dance. honest to God truth. Cross my heart.
Hope Brother Lopez dies. We were here one day, and some other guy come passing through. Matter of fact, I think he came to the other building. And he was saying, man, you could have a real good praise and worship service here. You play the right kind of music and get a band in here. You could have the young people dancing around, and you could get the gospel to them. Honest to God. I said, sir, I said, that's not going to happen here. He said, but why not? You got to come to where they are. I said, no, I need to bring them to where he is. I said, I don't need to go down to where they are. We need to bring them up to where he is. He said, well, just how you going to do that? I said, preach the fire out of them. I said, they're so stinking tired of people telling them lies, nothing different in church. Why would they want to try God? If it's no different than the rock concert they go to, why should they go to church? He didn't stay around very long. He had another appointment very conveniently. Hymns are not to be entertainment. Praise in worship means this. Praise is thanking God for all he's done. Worship is telling God how wonderful he is. Now that's a very simplified version, but in our music, we can sing psalms, scripture. We can sing hymns, which are praising him. Praise him, praise him. Do-do-do-do-do-do. God is love, God is love. You can sing the song, praise him in the morning, praise him in the evening. You can sing all kinds of songs about praise. You can sing songs about how great and mighty our God is. Oh, my soul. So many songs and hymns in this book that we could sing. Be careful. There are certain verses in there that I'd be careful about. If we don't sing them in church, there might be a reason. You take the song, And Can It Be? The second verse is unscriptural, where it talks about he emptied himself of all but love. Guess what? He didn't empty himself of anything. He didn't leave everything behind except his love to come to earth. That is unscriptural. He didn't leave his deity behind, as all he did was robe his body in flesh that could die. He was still the same God. It's unscriptural. Now, it doesn't mean the whole song is bad. But there are verses in there you got to be careful. They're pretty slick. Everybody doing okay? I'm not against your toe tapping to certain music. But if all it does is make you toe tap and it's not spiritual, what good was it? You can go to the honky tonk and tap your toe. Dr. Rice used to say it. A praying knee and a tapping toe can't be on the same leg. Well, I disagree with Dr. Rice. I think there ought to be time your toe can tap. I think nothing wrong with good, lively, peppy music, but if that's all that it is, be careful. Let me teach you something about worldly music. Worldly music affects the body. Rock music is a syncopated beat. Now, listen to this carefully. Your heart beats. It beats on, if you do four beats, it's heavy beat, light beat, heavy beat, light beat, heavy beat, light beat. Rock music is light beat, heavy beat, light beat, heavy beat. Works opposite your heart. That's why when people go to a rock concert, they get all wound up because their heart doesn't have a chance to relax. It is going contrary to the heart. Music that is syncopated, you have to be careful of. Modern styles are changing all the tempos and things of spiritual songs and hymns, and it's getting pretty syncopated. It's getting real offbeaty. Then you got the honky-tonk breathy stuff, you know, where they got like this, and they slide into it. Folks, hit the thing or jump off, amen? I'd rather you hit the wrong one than slide through 16 of them to get there. We've used too much of the world's style to Christian music. And the beat of the music is just as important as the style, and the style of the music is just as important. Then, spiritual songs, so psalms, scripture, hymns, which are things that praise and worship God, then spiritual songs. I looked it up. The word spiritual means non-carnal or non-fleshly songs. That's exactly what it means. Non-carnal, non-fleshly. For instance, it may be a song that has been written in since these songs have been written. We don't sing songs around here as specials even unless they're at least 20 years old. Unless I personally know the person that wrote it. Say, why? Hasn't been tried and true yet. We're going to see how it works here. I know Brother Fugit's college. I've had two kids graduate there. They've had a couple kids that have come through on their tour groups that have written a couple songs the tour groups have done, and they're fantastic. That's a spiritual song. They're more modern age songs than the ones that have been around for a long time. Everybody understand that? My wife sang a song opening Sunday here in the building. We Shall See Jesus. Is that the one you sang? We Shall See Jesus. That song's over 30 years old. It's about 35 years old or older. I happen to know when it was. I mean, it's got some age to it now. But what a powerful song. It's a spiritual song. Some of the songs Kathy Coral, Dennis and Kathy Coral. Kathy's written a bucket load of songs. Those would be spiritual songs. They're not necessarily hymns, but they're spiritual songs. You see, may I say this? They're not psalms. They're not necessarily just scripture. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. There are some quote-unquote scripture songs that don't use all the right words. Be careful. Be careful. I'm not saying you can't just use part of a verse as a song, but don't skip words in there either just to make it fit the music. I'd rather fit the music around the right words. God wrote every one of them for a purpose. Now, let me review for just a second, and then I'm going to smack you upside the head with something that's unbelievably powerful. God says that music is to be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Then he says, music that is spiritual teaches and admonishes. By the way, let me say this. Music that is not spiritual teaches and admonishes too. Just a different direction. And thirdly, God tells us what three types of music there are. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. These are the ones that allow the Holy Spirit to do his work. Anything outside of that, the Holy Spirit cannot work because it's outside of the Word of God. It's outside the doctrine of God. It's outside those things that God cannot approve. It's not part of his will. God's not in Dolly Parton's music. I don't care how many times Elvis got up and sang Amazing Grace. It doesn't make Amazing Grace wrong because he sang it, but it wasn't Spirit-filled when he sang it. Everybody doing okay? I've heard people say, well, it depends on who sings that song. Well, depends on who listens to it too. I agree. The performer is important, but no more important than the doctrine. If the devil got up and sang Blessed Assurance, doesn't make Blessed Assurance wrong. It won't be Spirit-filled, but it can be. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. I don't think the devil's going to sing it, by the way. I used the ridiculous to illustrate the obvious. Now, then there are spiritual songs. Let me say this, and I'm done. Are you ready? This one's going to hurt. The Holy Spirit is only obligated to work within psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. He's only obligated to work with songs that line up with Scripture. He is not obligated, listen to this statement, he is not obligated to work with religious music. He's obligated to work within psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. He's not obligated, by the way, he's not obligated when we put those words to wrong music because we're using wrong methods. He's not obligated to work within those because they don't qualify as a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song. Because they're not following God's method. God's method is as important as his message. In other words, the Holy Spirit can only work within the confines of the Word of God, and our music can only be Spirit-filled when it's in the confines of the Word of God. I think we ought to be as Spirit-filled as we can when we sing our music. I think you ought to be Spirit-filled as you sing the songs as we in congregation. Part of it is for that, to get you ready for the Spirit to work. We don't just sing songs to come to church, just sing a song. For you to get in tune with the Holy Spirit, to let him start filling you so that when the Word of God is preached, he's already been inside you, working on you, so that he can say, listen to that. It's what it's for. That's why this let's just have a little talk with Jesus stuff doesn't go very far. I'd rather have more than just a little talk with him. How about sweet hour of prayer? I'd rather have sweet hour of prayer than just a little talk with Jesus. Now, one will make the toe tap. The other one, it teaches and admonishes. One's a little bit more pleasant to the flesh. The other's a little bit pleasant more to the spirit. Our music is to be Spirit-filled, and it will be with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, done God's way, within the confines of God's Word. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. The Holy Spirit's role in music. He is not obligated to religious music. Religion is man-made. He's obligated to follow the Word of God and stay within the confines of the Word of God.